this is a study that is published now. We looked at two morphological phenomena of German, namely regular participles. Participles are kind of the functional equivalent of the English past tense. So when you say, I bought a book in English, you would say, ich habe ein Buch gekauft in German, and then you have a gekauft at the end of the sentence, which is the participle. And apart from a few irregular forms, well, a few, 160 or 70, such as werfen, geworfen, this process of participle formation is absolutely regular. You add a T to the stem, and you get a participle. So we're looking at T suffixation and compare it with derivational process, which is like participle formation, completely regular and predictable, and doesn't have any stem changes, namely nominalizations, as in reinigen and reinigung. We wanted to find out whether there are differences between inflectional, processing of inflectional words, which are purely grammatical, and, let's say, morpholexical words like derivation, which also have an idiosyncratic semantics. So, for example, Reinigung can not only refer to the process of cleaning or purification or whatever, but it also refers to a shop, right? You can refer with Reinigung to a shop, which is something that is possible with derivation, that they have idiosyncratic meanings, but not with pure inflection. Again, as in the study on pronouns, we do not only examine offline performance, but also language processing in real time. We want to understand what goes on in people's minds when they comprehend these complex words, both in comprehension and in production. And the focus here in this study is on comprehension. So we specifically ask, the specific question we ask is whether these inflected and derived words like Reinigung are segmented into their component parts during comprehension. So when you hear something like, or read something like Reinigung, do you segment this into Reinigung, right? Into the morphological parts, and when you see something like a kauft, do you strip off the T and identify the stem, or do you just look at a complex word in the same way in which you read a word like cat and mouse and dog? Okay? So in other words, when you look at morphologically complex words, do you take the knife out to cut this word into bits? Or not. To gain insight into this, we used a technique that we find very useful, which is morphological priming. And the technique, you know, unlike the eye tracking technique, can be done on any laptop. You can do these experiments in the jungle if you want. So this is very attractive because it doesn't require a lot of apparatus, unlike the eye movement experiment. And it still provides, I think, a lot of interesting insight. So how do priming experiments work? In a morphological priming experiment, participants are presented with individual words, not with sentences, just one word after the other. But the order in which the words are presented is manipulated by the experimenter. The subjects, the participants, just have to do simple lexical decision on naming. So lexical decision means they have two buttons in front of them and they have to say, is this a word of German or not? Yes or no. That's it. Okay? So for the participant, this is simple lexical decision. Or another technique, another variant would be naming. They just read out aloud the word they see. Okay? But what the experimenter does the experimenter manipulates the order in which the words are presented. So, for example, the participant may get something like Kaufe as a target. So, subject has to decide, is this a word of German or not? And then we compare two conditions. One in which Kaufe, the target, is preceded by Kaufe. So immediately before Kaufe, the subject also saw Kaufe, or an unrelated word. And of course, the reaction times on Kaufe when it is preceded by Kaufe are shorter than when Kaufe is preceded by Schweige, right? This is because this is called priming, repetition priming. The prime is still active in your mind and facilitates the recognition of the target. Okay? So this is repetition priming. But morphological priming would be the comparison of something like Kaufe as a target preceded by a morphologically related word, right? Compared to two control conditions, an unrelated control condition and an identity condition. Okay? And what we find with native speakers is that the reaction times on Kaufe, when it is preceded by gekauft, are shorter than when it is preceded by Schweige, and equally short as when it is preceded by Kaufe. So it's completely, it's identical to repetition priming. Okay? Likewise for Reinigung, right? You get approximately the same results as for repetition priming. Why is this? How does this come about? Why does gekauft prime Kaufe as effectively as an identical prime? Well, our story would be because when you hear or read gekauft, you are decomposing this into its component parts. You do not just grab gekauft from your memory, you take the knife out. You cut this into pieces, and in that way, you identify the stem. And that stem is also present in your target. So it's a case of stem repetition priming with native speakers, okay? Now, we wanted to use this morphological priming effects to learn something about age of acquisition effects in grammatical processing. We tested 100 subjects from the Berlin, a Turkish-German community, right? As I said, they all learned Turkish from birth in their families, and German at different ages. And all these participants, these are the teenagers, these are the second or third generation Turkish immigrants in Berlin, right? They were born in Germany. We tested their German with a Goethe test, and they achieved the highest possible scores. They were indistinguishable from native speakers of German. Also, on the phenomena that we examined them, they were perfect, right? So they speak German very well. Also, what's nice about this study is that the environmental conditions are very similar. They live in the same communities, right? They live in the same community in Berlin. The only thing that was really different was the age at which they learned German, right? So what we are asking for here in this study is long-term effects of age of acquisition on unconscious automatic language processing skills. This is what we were after. And what I mean by unconscious automatic skills, I explain in a minute. So as illustrated in these graphs, which are taken from a paper by David Birdsong, age of acquisition may have different effects on language, on language skills. It may have linear effects, so that is the graph in A. So you could say the earlier, the better. Right? So imagine you plot on the x-axis whatever proficiency, and on the y-axis you plot age of acquisition, right? Then an age of acquisition effect may just be linear. You may say the earlier the better. It may also you may also get discontinuities. So you may say, yeah, it's great until a certain age, right? But then it gets worse, right? This is the second graph. Or you may get something like the earlier the better until a certain critical age. This is C, where it kind of doesn't matter anymore, right? Now, what do I mean by automatic unconscious language skills? Well, we used a particularly revealing, I find, priming technique called mask priming. The mask priming means that the prime word is presented for such a short period of time that people are not consciously recognizing it. Right? If you ask them, we only present the prime for 30 to 60 milliseconds. Milliseconds. 1 second has 1,000 milliseconds. So it's just a very short period of time. And when you ask people after the experiment, what have you seen? What they will say to you is, well, the monitors flicker. There was a flicker on the monitor from time to time. They are not able to see the primes consciously. The idea behind that is we don't want to give them an opportunity to fully recognize the prime, but only partially process the prime. So the experiment works like this. People see on the screen a mask of X's for 500 milliseconds, and then they see the prime word for 60 milliseconds, right? It just pops up very, very briefly. And then they see the target word, and then they have to say, is boil a word of English or not? Right. Now, here is a summary of the results. I just show you one graph with the results. The graph is a little bit complicated, but you only see one of them. So let me explain. On this axis, you see the age of acquisition of our age of acquisition of German of our participants. Okay? So zero means they learned German from birth, etc. Okay? In years. And this axis shows the magnitude of priming. So this means the response time, let's take the example that I had before, the response time on Kaufe when it was preceded by gekauft, as opposed to the response time on Kaufe when it was preceded by an unrelated item, and the difference between the two. Okay? So what you can see, and the results for the derivation are the dotted line, and the results for the T participles are the straight line. So what you can see is that there is a period of 8, and you know, I must add, these are pure age of acquisition effects. So in the statistical models that we used, we included exposure, amount of exposure, years of exposure. Of course, people who have who are at this end, they have a longer period of exposure to German than people who are at this end, right? Their period is shorter. We included in the statistical model the factor exposure and factored it out. So this is what's left after exposure and proficiency. We also, of course, these people were highly proficient, but their proficiency was not identical for all of them. There were differences in their proficiency. In the statistical model, we included proficiency and exposure and factored this out. And this is what's left when these other factors are factored out. Okay? This is what's left. So this is a pure age of acquisition effect. Okay? So what you see is that there is a period roughly until age 6 or 7, at which we find priming effects, native-like priming effects. And remember, native speakers of German show this pattern, priming for derivation and for participles. So these people are like native speakers. until age 6 or 7, right? But then the priming effect for the inflection, the grammatical priming effect, disappears. Okay? While the priming effect for derivation stays. So the derivational priming effect is not modulated, not affected by age of acquisition. They show native-like priming effects irrespective of when they learned the language. But the grammatical, the inflectional priming effect is affected by age of acquisition. They show a non-native-like, this is non-native-like, right? This is not native-like. So what we see is some evidence for the modularity of language. I think, given these and also other results, it doesn't make sense to ask the question, is there a critical period for language or not? That doesn't make sense, because there are critical periods for some aspects of language, but not for others. That's it. Thank you very much.